الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والحمد لله الذي جعلنا من المتمسكين بولاية أمير المؤمنين ولأئمة المعصومين عليهم السلام، والحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، خاتم النبيين، شفيع المذنبين، حبيب الله العالمين، أبي القاسم مصطفى محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من يوم عداوتهم إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الحكيم وهو أصدق القائلين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: الذين آمنوا وتطمئن قلوبهم بذكر الله، ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب. آمنا بالله، صدق الله العلي العظيم. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. عما بعد، السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. I begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no doubt that it's due to His kindness and generosity that He provides for us opportunities such as these, where we gather together in remembrance of Him, tabaraka wa ta'ala. Next, we send our heartfelt condolences to our 12th and living Imam, Imam al-Hujja, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. And to each and every one of you, as we are gathered to commemorate the wafat anniversary of the protector of the greatest prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Hazrat Abu Talib alayhim afdalus salatu wassalam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. As you know, tonight, or today, is the 26th of the holy month of Rajab, and inshallah tonight will become the 27th night. And the 27th night is a very spiritual and a holy night in the Islamic calendar. It is the night which is associated with Mab'ath. It is the day or the night in which the formal appointing of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad was made. It is the day in which he was sent forward as the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a few years after that, it is the same night in which the Mi'raj happened, the ascension happened towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And hence it is a very important night in the Islamic calendar for both the Sunni and the Shia madhahib. And it is a night in which prayers and a'mal are recommended. So inshallah, after the Salat of Maghrib and Isha, I'm sure there will be a break, but after that, inshallah, we will do an a'mal together, inshallah. It is not a long a'mal, it should take more than an hour, inshallah, depending on how fast people recite. But this is a night in which it is important to spend some time in remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our sixth Imam, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, says, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. He says, verily, one who does any act of worship on this night will have a reward of one who has worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 60 years. So the reward of one night of a'mal tonight is equivalent to nearly a lifetime of good deeds in the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And obviously then, if tonight is the night of Mab'ath and Mi'raj, then tomorrow is the day of Mab'ath and Mi'raj. And there are many things which are recommended on this day. So for example, to take out ghusl is highly recommended on this day. To recite salawat as much as possible is recommended on this day. Let us begin with one right now, inshallah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. And for those who have the energy and the strength, it is recommended to fast tomorrow. Yeah, it is one of those days which are specially marked for fasting. Again, we get a tradition from our sixth Imam alayhi salam, annahu qal, وَلَا تَدَعَ سِيَامْ يَوْمِ سَبْعِ وَإِشْرِينَ مِنْ رَجَبٍ. He says, do not lose or that opportunity to fast on the 27th of Rajab. فَإِنَّهُ هُوَ الْيَوْمُ الَّذِي نَزَلَتْ فِيهِ النُّبُوَّةَ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. وَثَوَابُهُ مِثْلُ سِتِّينَ شَهْرًا لَكُمْ. And the reward on this day to fast is equivalent to 60 months of fasts, basically. So it's a very important day to fast, if possible. I know it's getting long now, but inshallah, we motivate myself and I motivate you, inshallah, to try and fast tomorrow if it is going to be possible, inshallah. In fact, when we look at hadith, I wanted to quote this hadith in the beginning of the month, but I thought it is more apt towards the end because of the subject matter. It is highly recommended to fast the remaining days of the month of Rajab. So when we look at the calendar, most likely the month of Rajab this year will be 29 days and tomorrow will be 27. So fasting the last 3 days of Rajab is highly recommended. There's a hadith an Ali bin Salim عن أبيه قال دخلت على الصادق جعفر بن محمد عليهم السلام. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. في رجب وقد بقيت منه أيام. So that he came to the presence of the Imam عليه السلام, and there were only a few days left in the month of Rajab. فلما نظر إلي قال لي يا سالم هل صمت في هذا الشهر شيئا. Yeah. So when he looked towards me, Salim says, the Imam said to me, Salim, have you fasted in this month at all? Yeah. To which he replied, La wallah yabna Rasulillah. He says, no, I have not. Yeah. He didn't make up an excuse. He just said, no, I haven't. Yeah. فَقَالَ لِي لَقَدْ فَاتَتْكَ مِنَ الثَّوَابِ مَا لَا يَعْلَمْ مَبْلَغَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. He said, you have lost out on reward in this month, the equivalent of which no one knows except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah? That's how much you have lost out on. إِنَّ هَذَا شَهْرٌ قَدْ فَضَّلَهُ اللَّهُ وَعَظَّمَ حُرْمَتَهُ وَأَوْجَبَ لِلسَّائِمْ فِيهِ كَرَامَتَهُ. He says, God has promised to reward karama that He has put in with it His grace in this holy month. So Salim says to him, يَبْنَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ فَإِنْ سُمْتُ مِمَّا بَقِيَ شَيْئًا هَلْ أَنَالُ فَوْزًا بِبَعْضِ ثَوَابِ الصَّائِمِينَ. He says, if I was to fast in the remaining days of Rajab, would I still get any reward that is left, that God is allocated in this month? You know, this is nothing wrong with this. Yeah. In fact, when we find hadith which says that you should fast in the month of Rajab wanting these rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, normally we say don't fast for a trade with God. But when it comes to this type of istihbab, in fact, it is recommended that we are eager. We have this raghbah towards the gifts that have been promised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Imam alayhi salam says, Ya Salim, man sama yawman min akhir hadha shahr, kana thalika amanan lahu min shiddati sakaratil maut wa azabil qabr. He says, if one fasts one day in the last days of this month of Rajab, that will be protection for him from the difficult death and from the punishment in the qabr. Yeah, one fast at the end of the month of Rajab. وَمَنْ صَامَ يَوْمَيْنِ مِنْ آخِرْ هَذَا الشَّهْرِ كَانَ لَهُ بِذَلِكَ جَوَازٌ عَلَى الصِّرَاطِ. And if one fasts two in this month, the last days of Rajab, that will give him security to cross over the Sirat without ease and without any difficulty. وَمَنْ صَامَ ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامٍ مِنْ آخِرْ هَذَا الشَّهْرِ أَمِنَ يَوْمِ الْفَزْعِ الْأَكْبَرِ مِنْ أَهْوَالِهِ وَشَدَائِدِهِ وَأُعْطِيَ بَرَاءَةً مِنَ النَّارِ. And if one, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. And if one fasts 3 days, the last 3 days basically, this is why I said it's very apt that we pick this hadith now. And if one was to fast the last 3 days, the third reward would be that on the day when there will be great difficulty for everybody, yani the day of judgment, you will be saved from that type of difficulty and God will save you. Bara'atam minan nar. So we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us the strength to do this. And inshallah, we are amongst those who will receive these gifts, inshallah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. We have been discussing for the last two lectures, the importance of dhikr in Islam, the importance of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Islam. And yesterday we discussed that the foundation of dhikr is based on two premises, or two platforms, you can say, from which dhikr is based. And the first is ma'rifatullah. It is the awareness and the cognizance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we said it is quite simple that it is not possible to remember God if you don't know God. Yeah? So that ma'rifatullah is the premise from which the remembrance will arise. And the second foundation is to consciously recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all of our actions. Yani, whatever I am doing, I think about God at that moment. And this is what is meant by remembrance of Allah. It is not only in taking out tasbih, or it is not only in the salah or the siyam. Rather, when Allah says, remember me frequently, He's talking about in every action of life, we ask ourselves, would God be pleased with this, or would God not be pleased with this? To continue with this discussion, today inshallah we will be discussing the stages or the levels of dhikr. Yeah. When we look in the books of Akhlaq, we find that there are three stages of dhikr. And we will go through all three of these inshallah. The aim is to get to the top level, obviously. But I believe most of us rotate between one and two. And at least there is dhikr happening. So the thing to remember is that even though we may be at level one, it is still considered dhikrullah. So there is a positive in there, but I know we are not satisfied with the bare minimum. So the first level of dhikr is called what is called as dhikrul lafzi. Yeah? It is the remembrance of the tongue, basically. The remembrance of the tongue, what we mean by that is where one recites the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where one, for example, does the tasbih, where one praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but without thinking. Yeah, without thinking. Yani, almost like a parrot style. Yeah, where we have memorized salah, we can recite salah, you wake us up in 2 a.m. and say, what do you say in sajda? We can say it without thinking, because we have memorized it, isn't it? So when one recites the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when one glorifies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they are not thinking about what they are saying. Yeah, this is not ajib at all, not at all. Yeah, this is what happens when we recite salah. When we recite salah and our mind is in business, this is dhikrul lafzi. Yeah, we are still doing dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but our minds are somewhere else. Yeah, when I'm doing tasbih after salah, but I'm reading my email at the same time, my tasbih is going on. Yeah, but I'm answering a text. It happens. It's not ajib at all. Yeah, this is what is known as dhikrul lafzi. Yani, I'm remembering God, but not really. Yeah, my mind is somewhere else, but I'm still reciting that dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where I'm driving and I'm reciting, but I'm listening to the radio at the same time. All of these things happen in the course of our lives, right? And this may be a way why we, for example, make a mistake in salah. Yeah, like, is it my third rakat or fourth rakat? Why would that happen? It's because I'm not paying attention in salah, right? There's nothing, God realizes this. That's why He has given us ways to fix that mistake, right? I remember when we were in Sham, you know, we had never really been around scholars that much. So when we were reciting behind a scholar, he made a mistake. Yeah, he didn't know a third or fourth rakat. And you know, for people who are naive like me, I said to my teacher, can you believe this great alim? He said, it happens. Yeah, it happens. What are you going to do about it, right? There's nothing wrong with it. The guy recites in jama'ah 365 times 5 every day. He makes one mistake, it happens, right? I didn't want to bring this up because I'm probably going to make a mistake today, because that's the way God tests us. Yeah, but if I do make a mistake, yeah, don't think anything. It happens as human beings, right? So I'm saving myself a little bit. So even though there is little or no attention in this dhikr that I'm doing, it's dhikrul lafzi, just my tongue is moving, right? It is still considered a level of dhikrullah. That's the beauty of God, yeah? That even though I'm reciting and I don't know what I'm saying, maybe, or maybe my mind is somewhere else, it does have a limited effect on the soul. It does have a limited effect on the soul. And the question could be why? Why does it have a limited effect on the soul? And the reason being is that this first level is a condition for the second level. Yeah, it's a shart. Yeah, it's a precondition. Yani, I can never move to the second level if I don't have this first level. So the fact that I'm doing the first level, there is some positive in there. Yeah, this is how merciful God is, right? And also, even if I am reciting salah, for example, and my mind is somewhere else, I still know that I'm praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. it is still considered zikrullah. Yeah. When you ask me, what are you doing? I'm praying to God, even though I've mapped out my whole lecture for tomorrow. Yeah. But I am still thinking, I'm still knowing that I'm praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are consciously aware of what we are doing, but our mind is somewhere else. Yeah. Or subconsciously, you can say, we know we are taking out tasbih, but our minds are somewhere else. So this is the first level. This is what is the bare level, and I have no doubt we are in there, because we pray, we fast, we take out tasbih. In the month of Ramadan, we will do istighfar 300 times during the nights of Qadr. We do all these things, right? So this is the bare minimum of what is known as dhikrul lafzi. The second level, which is the higher level, which inshallah most of us are at as well, it is known as dhikrul ma'nawi. And dhikrul ma'nawi in a loose translation is the remembrance of understanding. Yeah, where I am understanding. Scholars in the third and fourth rakat, when they do tasbihatul arba'ah, you can hear them whisper, and they'll only do one. Because in each one, subhanallah, they're thinking about God. Yeah, walhamdulillah. So by the time they do one, it equals our three. So they only do one tasbihatul arba. So this is what is meant as zikrul ma'nawi, where I am understanding what I am reciting. And of course, this has a much greater impact on our soul. There is no doubt about that. The impact that this dhikr has on our soul is profound. Even though when we talk about the third level, this is the level we want to get that. But at the bare minimum, this second level is where we should be at. Yeah, where we know what we are taking out, where we know the meaning of salah, where there are certain dhikr, for example, which I do on a regular basis because I know it has an effect on our soul. So for example, there are two dhikrs that I do since I have joined the Hawza, I believe. This is when I started these. And I'll share them. Maybe I've shared them previously. What impact this has had in my life, Allahu A'lam. Right? Because I believe it is in the second level that I am doing it, not that third level. But one dhikr is, after Fajr Salah, it is recommended to put your hand on your chest and recite Ya Fattah 70 times. Ya Fattah. Yeah? Don't ask me afterwards what these dhikr are. Yeah? Because I've asked you to write it down many times. Yeah? So, no offense. I hope you don't mind that. Yeah, I'm allowed to scold a little bit, I think. Yeah. So, Ya Fattah, 70 times. Fattah is basically the opener, right? So, with your hand in your chest, you are asking God to open. Yeah, open your chest. Now, it really depends how you're looking at it. To be honest, I'll be very honest with you. We did a lot of spiritual adhkar, but I think I was very naive when we were taught these, because what I was expecting was to see things. You know, this is a mistake that people make when they get in the spiritual journey. They want to see things. They want to see miracles in front of them. So by doing these adhkar over and over and over again, I was naive to think that, but I think it did have a spiritual imprint that it left, right? You're not going to see things. You're not going to see God open up your chest and open up your heart, no. But you will see, if you understand or recite this with meaning, that there will be an impact in your life. Now, the reason I say this is because I don't know if I would be where I would be if it were not for these adhkar. I don't know. Maybe I would be here without these adhkar, or maybe, as far as I know, I wouldn't be here without these adhkar, right? Because this is where it has led me. So if we begin this process, Allahu A'lam where it will lead us. So the first dhikr that has been part of my life for I think about 7-8 years now is Ya Fattah, 70 times after Fajr Salah. The next is to recite Ya Wahhab. Ya Wahhab in your sajda to shukr, after you finish salah and you go into sajda, salam, to recite it 14 times in the sajda. Ya Wahhab. Wahhab is the one who gives, the bestower. Yeah. So we're asking God to give us whatever it is out of His grace, out of His fadl, right? And I feel that there hasn't been anything that I have asked for that has not been given to me, for example. Right, by doing these adhkar with the meaning in mind. So these are things that is what is meant by dhikrul ma'nawi. The third dhikr, or the third level of dhikr, and this is where we should all aim to be at. We should all aim to be at is a dhikrul qalbi. Yeah, it is the remembrance of the heart. Yeah. Now, what do we mean by the remembrance of the heart? This is the highest stage of remembering Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. If we take it back to the foundations, right? When we said the foundation of zikr is based on two, ma'rifatullah, the awareness of God, and to feel the presence of God in everything. The first two levels are based on ma'rifatullah. Yeah? If I did not have ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I would not even move my tongue to remember God. So the fact that I'm moving my tongue and the fact that I'm concentrating on the meaning means that I have, at least to a certain extent or to a certain level, cognizance of God, ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The zikrul qalbi, the remembrance of the heart, is based on the second foundation, which is I feel the presence of God in everything that I do. Yeah, this is when I feel the presence of God in everything, then the remembrance that I have will be the remembrance of the heart. Yeah, dhikrul qalbi. Now this is, as I said, the highest stage where the presence of God is felt and where I recognize the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the course of my life. Yeah, throughout the course of my life. This is different than the second stage, right? In the second stage, I'm concentrating on the words and the meanings of what I am reciting. I'm concentrating. When I do tasbih, I am concentrating. When I'm reciting my salah, I'm literally concentrating. When I say bihawlillah, that's a powerful impact, yeah? That there is no strength or power besides God and He is raising me up on my feet. Meaning whenever I fall, it is the power of God that lifts me up again. Yeah, so it is this meaning is, this is the second meaning. But the third meaning is I feel the beauty, the power, the majesticness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the course of my life, and subsequently that will create a dhikr which will come out onto my tongue. Yeah? It's very beautiful. The third level, we feel it sometimes. You know, when, for example, you see something so beautiful, like the first time you saw Niagara Falls, for example, you were like, MashaAllah. Yeah? SubhanAllah. Why? Because you saw the beauty of God. Isn't it? Yeah. When you see something, when you see, for example, a miracle happen in your life, and you actually call out God. This is generating from the heart. This is because you felt the presence of God at that very instant. Yeah. When we're talking about zikrul qalbi, it is when you feel that same presence at every moment of your life. At every moment of your life. Yeah. And I'm sure, yeah, if you think about it in the course of your life, there have been moments where you have felt the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have. You know, I'll give you an example. Once upon a time, right, I was filling out some immigration forms. So once upon a time this was. And I filled out these forms the way I thought it was the correct way of filling them out. It was all ready. All that was left was for me to go take some passport photos. That's all that was left. It was on a folder. The address was written on the folder. I was going out to get the passport photos. So I go to the first place, and they're charging me something ridiculous to take passport photos, like $20 for passport photos. I was like, are you kidding me? $20 for passport photos? And then they said it'll take 10 minutes. So I said, okay, I came back after 20. They hadn't even started. So I was like, I don't have time. I have to go to work. Yeah, so I left it, right? And then I went to a second passport place. And I go there, and the business is closed. Yeah? I was like, who closes a business on a weekday? What kind of business are they running, isn't it? Yeah. So then I go to a third place. The third place is closed as well. Yeah, so now I'm just frustrated because my mind is not grasping the entire picture, isn't it? So I say, forget it. You know, I'll come back tomorrow. So I go home, I do my things, and I meet somebody in the evening, and that person tells me that the way I'm filling out my forms is incorrect. Yeah, I say, SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah, God. Yeah, God guided me throughout the day. Yeah, and He said, close, close, close for me. Yeah, that was a miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, these type of things, you may think it's small. To me, it was the biggest thing in the world. Yeah, because God saw me, little old me, and say, Jafar, this business is closed, this business is closed. Because if you went there, you would do something fatally wrong. Yeah, this is God. Yeah, we see these things happening in our lives all the time where the hand of God is playing. And when we see these being manifested, the natural emotion that comes out is SubhanAllah. Yeah? SubhanAllah. Yeah, and this is how the Quran describes it. You know, when, for example, When the angels saw the creation of Adam, alayhi salam, yeah? And when they saw this creation, they were so amazed at the creation of Adam that what was their reply? Their reply was, قَالُوا سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا مَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ Hakim. This was their glorification. When they saw the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they glorified the creation. They glorified the Creator. Yeah? And they said, Subhanaka. Yeah? Glory be to you, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we have no knowledge except for what you teach us, O Allah. Yeah? You know, it's a very interesting parable. I'm sure you've heard of this story. But it fits very well. It says that there was a man and there was a big flood that was taking place in his neighborhood or in his city or whatever. So the guy thinks about people were evacuating. He said, no, God will help me. Yeah, God will help me. So the guy is sitting in his house and the water is rising and rising. So he says, what's to do? He goes on the second floor of his house. Yeah? As he's sitting there on the second floor, a guy in a canoe comes by and says, jump in. Let's go. He says, no, God will help me. He says, God will help. And the flood water keeps rising, right? As it keeps rising, now a guy in a motorboat comes by. Yeah, the lifeguard, the whatever it is, first aid people. Yeah, he says, come on, jump in. He says, no, God will help me. Yeah, the flood water keeps rising. He gets on top of the roof now. Yeah, he says, God will help me. This time a helicopter comes. They pull out the ladder. They said, come on. He says, God will help me. You know what happens? The guy drowns. Yeah, he meets God. He says, God, what happened? He said, I sent three guys to you. Yeah? Why didn't you jump on? Isn't it? We see this happen in our life all the time, my brothers and sisters. Yeah? God does things for us, but we fight it. Yeah? We fight it. Whenever we fight it, these distractions that come in our way, these things which make me lose focus, is because of shaitan. Yeah? There's a hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Where he says, anything which distracts you from the remembrance of God is from shaitan. It's from shaitan. Yeah? Anything which takes you away from this, right? Now imagine, in my situation, I tell you, this was one of those miracles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as far as I could see. Yeah? But if I had to go to work, this is why I abandoned it. Otherwise, you know, we're stubborn. I would have gone to a fourth passport place, right? But I had to go to work. But this is how God does these things for us, isn't it? He makes us realize until our own stubbornness will push away God and say, no, I'm still going to do it. And then we would have to have other measures to go with it. Think about this in our lives. How many times God plays a hand in it? And the more, my brothers and sisters, we think about God, the more we remember God, I promise you, the more you will see these miracles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're taking place everywhere. They're taking place every moment in our lives. We just have to recognize it. We have to remember it. And when we think about Him in this manner, it will then generate within us this remembrance of the heart of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which will constantly lead our lives. Yeah? And it will bring about, this is why, subhanallah, when God says, Allah bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub, yeah, it's because now I've reached this highest level where I'm just remembering God, just thinking about God, nothing bothers me anymore. Nothing bothers me. My heart is at rest. Yeah. People throw stones at me, it doesn't bother me. Yeah. People insult me, it doesn't bother me. People thank me and praise me, it doesn't change who I am. Yeah. I stay steady because my heart belongs to God now. He's guiding it. Right? And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects from us when it comes to His remembrance. He expects this third level. This third level, as I said, is not easy to get to. I think most people, not you, you guys are mashallah, but most people are seesawing back between one and two. Yeah, the khawas or the special people are seesawing between two and three. Yeah, where yes, they know, at least they're thinking about the adhkar, they are pondering over the meanings when they recite them, and sometimes they feel the miracle of God and they generate this dhikr of the heart that praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, and I think the more we focus on this, I'm not kidding, we'll see God everywhere. We'll see God everywhere. You know, God says, wherever you turn, you'll see the face of God. Yeah, wherever, this is what it means. When you see God everywhere, everything you do, you see the presence of God. And this is why, when you think about the highest stations, what Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam has said, ma salli al where it says لو كشف الغطاء مزددت يقينا. Yeah, that if you were to remove the veils from me, my certainty in God would not increase one bit. Yeah, why? Because he sees God everywhere, right? And the Quran describes this. You know, this Quran describes these three levels of zikr. So for example, in surah number 73, verse number 8, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَذْكُرْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِيلًا. Yeah, he says, and remember the name of your Lord and devote yourself to him with exclusive devotion. Yeah? This is talking about the first two levels of zikr, where he says, remember the name of God. Yani at least take out the name of God. Yeah, take out the zikr of Allah and then remember him exclusively, meaning with devotion. Yani know what you are saying to him. Don't think about something else while you're taking out the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about the name that you are taking out, right? Imagine, you know, when we learn the Asma'ullah, we've been concentrating on it, alhamdulillah, for a year and a half now, or even more in Salatul Jumu'ah. But when I'm faced with a specific difficulty, we are told to go to that specific name. Yeah, go to that specific name. So for example, if I'm in the process of jihadun nafs and I'm doing the stage of muhasabah, you take out the name ya hasibu, it will help you in your accounting of yourself. When you're taking out the stage of muraqabah, you take out the name ya raqib, it will help you in oversee your actions, right? When you need rahmah, you take out the name ya rahim, for example. So many names of God go in this path, and this is what the entire purpose is. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in surah number 7, verse number 205 says, وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ تَضَرُّعًا وَخِيفَةً وَدُونَ الْجَهْرِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ بِالْغُدُوِ وَالْآصَالِ وَلَا تَكُمْ مِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. He says, and remember your Lord with your heart beseechingly, yani humbly, and fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani khifatan. So you take out the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while you are pleading, beseeching, revering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but at the same time with this fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not khifa is not necessarily fear, you know. It is with this reverence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where we revere Him, we understand Him. But what's beautiful, He says, وَدُونَ الْجَهْرِ, without speaking loudly. Yeah, and you don't take out the zikr out loud. This is the highest level. Why? Because your heart is doing this zikr. Yeah, it is your heart which is revering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is your heart which is beseeching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's no need to say any of these adhkar. Yeah, it is your heart which is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. And this is the greatest type of zikr there is. There's a hadith. عن زرارة عن أحدهما, يعني either from our fifth or our sixth imam عليهما أفضل الصلاة والسلام. اللهم صل على. It's very interesting. He says, لا يكتب الملك إلا ما سمع. He says the angels do not write except for what they hear. Yeah. وقال الله عز وجل واذكر ربك في نفسك تضرعا وخيفة فلا يع. And he says, and Allah says that to remember him privately, revering and pleading to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فلا يعلم ثواب ذلك الذكر في نفس الرجل غير الله عز وجل لعظمته. Yeah, he says the reward of that silent dhikr, no one knows the reward of that except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, and this is how we can understand the station of Abu Talib alayhi salam. Yeah, that people may say, for example, that he never recited the shahada. Yeah, that's what people are saying, isn't it? But his entire life was a life of a mu'min. Yeah, and it was this life, this is this dhikr qalbi, this iman qalbi that Abu Talib alayhi salam had, that there is no doubt that it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who knows the rewards of Abu Talib alayhi salam. Yeah, and this is the greatness. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. And this is the status of Abu Talib alayhi salam. Like we said last year, I remember that there is no doubt the main reason, yeah, and the only reason why they hate Abu Talib is because of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Yeah, that is the only reason they hate Abu Talib, because by tainting Abu Talib, they think they are tainting Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, right? Because they can't taint the Prophet. They know he came from this pure He has to come from a pure lineage, because no prophet can be corrupted, right? Their lineage. But the same belief is ours, yeah? That this Aimmatul Athhar are the same way. You look at their progeny starting from Abu Talib or even up from that, it's a pure progeny. And we see proofs of his Iman throughout the course of history. You know, and I'll just give one example and we'll end, inshallah. It is said that once there was a terrible drought that had taken place in Makkah. Terrible drought. They hadn't seen rain in a long time. Water was drying up. So the Quraysh, they come to Abu Talib to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah? Now right there, you have to ask yourself a question. Yeah? Why are they coming to Abu Talib? Yeah? What Lord is Abu Talib praying to that is different from their Lord? Yeah? Why don't they go and pray to their Arbab? Yeah? But listen, this is things that people, when they put in their history books, they fail to realize that there is a problem here, yeah? That when you look at it from this angle, why are you coming to Abu Talib for his du'as to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It shows the iman of Abu Talib, isn't it? So he said that Abu Talib alayhi salam took the hand of Rasulullah when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad, was a young boy at this time, yeah? Was a young boy, obviously, because Abu Talib alayhi salam passed away when the Prophet was, what, 10, I believe? Or 13. So so he leaned on the wall of the Kaaba and he raised his hands towards the skies and he said, "Oh Lord, send rains for the sake of this boy." Yeah, and he looks at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi and says, "Oh Allah, send rain for the sake of this boy and favor us with your unlimited blessings." Again, yeah, point of reflection, isn't it? That he knew, he did not have to wait for the date of Mab'ath to know that this boy was the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah? He knew, and there's countless examples of this, when they went on trades together to Syria. So many examples when they would eat together. There's so many history books which tell us that whenever the Prophet would join Abu Talib for a meal, he would notice that the meal would never end. Yeah, yani the food would never get less from the barakah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The historians say unanimously, yeah, and this book is found, this particular story is found in Sirah Al-Halabi, volume 1, page 125. The historians write unanimously that as soon as he prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the skies were barren of any clouds, and as soon as his dua ended, the clouds began to gather, lightning and thunder began to come, and this torrential rainfall basically hit the town, hit the city of Makkah, and the people were rejoicing in that from the dua of Abu Talib alayhi salam. Yeah? So we see events like this which prove the iman. And you know, last year I believe we went through and proved the iman, but maybe sometimes it's okay to do that. But for us, we have no doubt about the iman of Abu Talib alayhi salam. Yeah? Why waste time talking about proving the iman of Abu Talib alayhi salam? We have this faith. We have this iman. It's good to know. Yeah, because if we do get into discussions, it's good to know. But not every year. So this year, it's just connecting it to the level of adhkar that we have to remember this great personality. You know, it is said that we know that Abu Talib alayhi salam remained on the side of the Prophet until the 10th year of the message, and it is when he passed away, it brought a grief over the Prophet. It was like his father passing away, isn't it? The Prophet wasn't 10, obviously. He was 50. Yeah? Excuse me. Yeah, excuse me. So we see this level of grief that comes over. Obviously, the same year that he passed away, the wife of the Prophet, Khadija alayha afdalus salatu wassalam, passed away. And this was the year that he marked as the year of huzn, and we can only imagine the grief that was felt by the Prophet and the companions and losing Hazrat Abu Talib alayhi salam. Tomorrow night, inshallah, will be the 28th night of the month of Rajab, and it is the night or it is the day in which we commemorate the Imam al-Hussein alayhi afdalu salatu wassalam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad, that he left Medina. So inshallah spend a few minutes of Masaib remembering the Imam alayhi salam leaving his homeland of Medina. We can imagine the grief and the difficulty by which the Imam alayhi salam had to take his family out of Medina. This was the land in which he had always lived in, except for a few years when he went to Kufa. It was a land in which his mother is buried. It is a land in which his grandfather was buried. It is his land in which his brother was buried. The land in which Risala came down. So this was, of course, a very difficult time for him, but it was a decision that he had to make for the safety of the inhabitants of Medina. And it is said that when it was time for him to leave, he went to the grave of Rasulullah. And as he sat on the grave of the Prophet, tears began to fall down the cheeks of Imam al-Hussein. He says to his grandfather, Ya Jaddah, look at the state of the Ummah. These are the same Muslims who bore allegiance to you, Ya Rasulullah, and today they wish to strike the blood of your grandson. It is said the Imam alayhi salam began weeping until he fell asleep on the grave of the Prophet. In a dream, he saw the Prophet coming with rows and rows of angels, and he looks at Imam al-Hussein and he says, Ya Habibi, Ya Hussein, Ya Habibi, Ya Hussein, you will soon be coming to us, O Hussein, and there is a station for you in Jannah that nobody can reach except with your shahada. The Imam alayhi salam looks at his grandfather and says, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Jaddad, take me with you right now. Why do we have to be separated for so long? The Prophet looked at him and he said, Ya Hussein, Habibi Ya Hussein, Inna abaka wa ummuka wa akhaka qaddimu alayya wa hum mushtaquna ilayk. He says, Oh Hussein, your father and mother and brother are all here with me, and they are longing to see you, O Hussein, but know that there is a task that you have to finish. It is said Imam al-Hussein left the grave of Rasulullah, and there is no doubt that he went one more time to the grave of his mother Fatima. And we can only imagine the conversation that must have taken place between Imam and his mother Fatima. My brothers and sisters, my heart tells me that Fatima alayha salam would say to her son, Ya Bunayya, Ya Hussein, Ya Habibi, Ya Hussein, know that I will never leave you alone, oh Hussein. I will be with you in this whole journey, O Hussein. It will be I who will be holding your hand when you bid farewell to Ali ibn al-Akbar. It will be I who will be holding your hand when you are looking for the body of Ali ibn al-Akbar. It will be I who will be collecting the blood drops from the neck of Ali ibn al-Asghar. O Hussein, it will be I who will help you in this entire journey. And don't worry, Hussein, I will be there to help my daughter Zainab. It is said that when Imam al-Hussein was on his way out of the city of Medina, his brother Muhammad bin Hanafiya stops the Imam and he says, Ya Akha, why do you leave Medina? Stay back and we will protect you. The Imam says, Oh my brother Muhammad, it is the desire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he sees me as a shaheed. So Muhammad replies, But oh my brother, then why do you take the women and the children? To which he replies, It is the Mashia of Allah to see them as prisoners of war. فَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا وَيَمُونَ قَلَبِي يَنْقَلِبُونَ وَالْعَاقِبَةٌ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the appearance of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive the sins of our parents and our loved ones. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those who are going through difficulty, that He end their difficulty. For those who have asked us to remember them in our prayers, Ya Allah, please accept their hajat. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Matame Hussein.